Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. Well, you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino, you give Rhino any kind of last-minute assignment you want, he'll take care of it for you. Appreciate him down there in Studio X, making sure everything runs smoothly. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown. I'll have some great details throughout the show about some of the cool stuff going on down in Vicksburg. And we are coming to you live from the Allen Chiropractic Studios. Dr. Allen here in Starkville, if you are having any kind of back problems, you need to give him a call. Let him have a look and see what he can do for you. Number 662-320-9300. Or you can make an appointment online at drallenchiro.com. That's A-L-L-E-N, chiro.com. I know it's a huge weekend for baseball. Mississippi State and Ole Miss. State looking to get some momentum. They won a series last weekend. But we're gonna shelve the baseball talk just for a bit. I want to start with men's basketball because there's a lot. There's stuff going on there that I don't get and that I don't. I guess I do get, but people want some more answers. I'm gonna see what I can do for you here when we talk about Chris Jans. I got the news Saturday night that Chris Jans was going to interview at Arkansas. Based on the events that have happened at Arkansas, I'm not sure how relevant or important or needed that interview was. It's quite obvious that Arkansas had their sights set on John Calipari this whole time, and once they got the news that he was coming, the Jans interview just kind of disappeared into the wind. But it did create a storm of fan anger, would be the way I guess we would put it. People mad that Chris Jans, you know, not locked in here in Starkville. You know, I've been told he has a contract extension on the table. It's just waiting to be signed. It's going to put him, going to give him a nice raise, give him a lot more security. He's gotten the support from NIL that he wants. He's certainly gotten support from the fan base I think he would want. Feels like he's got all that at his fingertips. He just needs to sign on the dotted line, but that hasn't happened as of 6:09 p.m. here on April 10th in the year of our Lord 2024. And so why? And why is that happening? And what is the deal with Chris? What's the deal with Chris Jans? I am not a person, you know, I do the best I can to separate my job and my professional behavior from the fact that everybody who's listening to the show knows that I'm a fan of Mississippi State University. So when I see a coach looking around, I mean, I get it. It's business. And if there are better opportunities out there and you don't feel like you're getting everything you want at one school and you can get it at another, yeah, I get it. I get it, you know. I love my job, but if somebody else has a better offer, Brian Haydad's always listening. And I think everyone who's listening to this show right now feels the same way. You know, your family comes first. I get that. I think with Jans, it just may be a little bit of a Dan Mullen kind of situation. I think that he's going to look every year. And when he finds the right fit, he'll go. And Mississippi State will hire a new coach and on we'll go. The good news, if you're a Mississippi State fan, is that he'll go nowhere if he isn't winning. Got to win to move up in the world. Nobody's hiring losers out there. And so as long as he wins, you know, as long as we keep the professional relationship, right? You win, we support. You don't win, well, we'll have that discussion. So A lot of people got really mad about this. I get it. I get it. Because as a fan, you're 100% locked in with your team. And you want everybody else to be that way. It just isn't that way for these coaches. It is a business for them. If you ask me which coach of the big sports is most locked in with Mississippi State, it's Chris Lemonis. And that's the guy that a month ago we were all like, get him out of here. So with Jans, you know, I will say this. After talking to some people, talking to some sources, I expect Chris Jans to be the head basketball coach of Mississippi State next season. And the fact that he has brought in a guy like Kanye Cleary from Penn State shows you he's working the portal. He's got visitors coming in. They're doing a good job of recruiting. I think Chris Jans expects to be here next year, but Chris Jans is listening. And, you know, I don't know what the dominoes are going to be from the John Calipari job, right? Somebody is going to leave their job to go to Kentucky. Let's say that it's Scott Drew. That means that Baylor's looking for a head coach. Would they look at Chris Jans? Maybe. Well, let's say they go get Jerome Tang from Kansas State. Would Kansas State look at Chris Jans? Now I think you definitely. I think Kansas State would absolutely look at Chris Jans. So does Chris Jans want to go to Kansas State? I don't know the answer to that. But there are still dominoes to fall. I think once you get past Kansas State, you're probably okay, right? Because now you're talking about Kansas State. If they don't hire a guy like Jans, probably hiring a mid-major guy, and then the mid-major job is open, and I don't think Chris Jans leaves for a mid-major job. But by and large, you know, I just expect him to be a guy who looks for jobs at the end of the season. And as long as he's winning, I think you can be okay with that. Someone asked, if he's not locked in, how do you think the team feels? Well, I mean, you're talking about a team with how many transfers on it? I mean, this is how college sports is these days. If the kids are up and leaving, the coaches are up and leaving. I think everybody gets what it is right now. And I'll say this. I don't think Josh Hubbard and Cam Matthews signed on to stay if they didn't feel comfortable being coached by Chris Jans. And I don't think Kanye Cleary comes in if he didn't think Chris Jans was going to be here for that. Now, State did lose an assistant coach yesterday. James Miller is headed to Oklahoma State for an associate head coaching job. Without looking, I don't know if Miller was the associate head coach here in Starkville or not. So I don't know if it's a bump in pay or if it's just a lateral move. And he just wanted to get another school and working with another team. I did read Paul Jones's reporting on 3 that Will Lutz is the kicker at the Saints. I don't know Lutz's first name, the new coach at Oklahoma State, but apparently he and Miller had a long relationship and they talked about coaching together. So, you know, you move on, you hire a new coach. That'll be no big deal. I did get a question here on the C Spire text line, and you can feel free to ask questions as well. It's 601-879-4395. How do I feel about Keyshawn Murphy hitting the portal? Do I think that tells you anything about another big coming in for Mississippi State? Yeah, State's going to find other forwards for sure. They're definitely working the portal to get some big guys in there. As far as how do I feel about losing him, I thought he had some talent. I thought that he was at times showed you that he had some big offensive talent. I thought he played hard, but I hate to do that, but you know, this is a guy who missed, you know, a portion of the season for personal reasons, and I know the personal reasons were simple. He felt like he should be playing more, and the idea that I should be playing more so I'm going to leave doesn't make any sense to me. It made sense to Keyshawn Murphy, though. So Keyshawn Murphy is a guy I feel like State can replace pretty easily. I'm not too terribly worried about that. So if Jans leaves, the players can go also. Jans can stay and the players can go. I mean, that's how college basketball works these days. If you want to hit the portal, you hit it. No questions asked. A.W. Hamilton, he is the head coach at Eastern Kentucky, may go to Kentucky. As an assistant? They'll burn Rupp Arena to the ground if they hire the head coach of Eastern Kentucky to be the head coach at Kentucky. No chance of that happening. I would be beyond amazed if that was the hire. Maybe as an assistant, though. So I think that this, you know, I think you're going to see some names popping up from the portal in the next week or so. You're going to be pretty impressed from what I've heard. That State's had some big visitors on campus, and they feel very good about their ability to land those guys. Their NIL is in a good place. It's just getting Jans locked in, sign the contract, and everybody can move forward into the 24-25 season. You got a great nucleus to build around with Hubbard, Matthews, and Cleary. You've got a couple of role players. You know, Sean Jones said he's coming back. Gal Chole's coming back. So you got some guys who, you know, can give you some minutes there. You need a three that can stretch the defense and hit some threes more consistently than DJ Jeffries did. You need a five, but I don't know if you need the same kind of five that Tolu Smith was. I don't know that you need a guy who you're going to run offense through and give you 17, 18 points per game. I think you can be okay with a guy who's a little bit more of a rim protector, gives you some physicality down low, and can get some points. Basically, if you could get a guy who was giving you what Jimmy Bell was giving you in the non-conference, you're perfectly okay with that because Hubbard and Clary are big-time scorers. Those are guys who should average close to, between them, you know, 40 points per game next year for Mississippi State. So, good situation there. Check out his record. I mean, I'm sure his record's great, man, but he's not going to be the head coach at Kentucky. That's Kentucky. You think Beard or Pearl would be candidates for Kentucky? Maybe. They would be in the next tier down. So we'll see. All right, we're back in just a minute. Let's talk some baseball when we come back. State Ole Miss this weekend in Oxford. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Sing it, Ozzy. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. The C-Spire text line remains open to you, 601-879-4395. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. I want to remind you that April 19th through and the 20th, the Vicksburg Arts and Music Festival will be held at the Vicksburg Convention Center from 5 to 11 p.m. Free to attend. They invite you to bring your own lawn chairs and picnic baskets to relax while enjoying all the music and food. There's a pop-up shop featuring a variety of vendors and a visual arts exhibition featuring regional artists displaying and selling their one-of-a-kind art. Featured music includes Bobby Rush, compositions, The Chill, and much more. Plenty of vendors on site. If you need more information, 601-630-2929 or email vccdirector@vicksburg.com. We're coming to you live from the Allen Chiropractic Studios here in Starkville. I will not be in the Allen Chiropractic Studios on Friday. I will be in Oxford. I will record this. I will do Sports Talk Mississippi live from the Oxford studio while sitting in Richard Cross's chair. I may bring a cowbell to leave it there for him. And then I'll be headed over to Swayze Field, and I'll be there all weekend for Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Huge series between the old rivals, and two teams go in different directions. State is going up. Now it's a slow incline. Let's watch it, a slow incline. They're not skyrocketing up. But they're playing much better than they were a year ago, and they're on the right pace at this time. Ole Miss, on the other hand, they're in trouble. They're not getting around it. They've been swept the last two weekends, and now they're facing a Mississippi State team that I know that history plays no role, but they've lost the last seven series to this team. And they've lost the last three series in Oxford. State's 8-1 in their last nine in Oxford, Mississippi. So you've got Ole Miss desperate for a win, but at the same time you've got State knowing that they're on pace to make it back to the postseason, and they've done the right things thus far, and this is really their best chance to win a road series. You know, their remaining road series at Arkansas, eh. And at Nashville, nah, that's tough. Those will be very, very tough. You will be doing great to come out of those with just a win. This is your best chance to win a road series. You had LSU, or not LSU, you had Florida on the ropes and could have won that series. You could do it here as well. I think it gives you a chance to win three straight series because next weekend when you play Auburn, I mean, Auburn is in a terrible spot right now. So who's got more pressure? Who's got more has to win? You know, Ole Miss, as it sits today, would not make the SEC tournament for the second year in a row, much as Mississippi State did. We had a text earlier, I believe it was, Kevin in Oxford. Why do I think this has happened, you know, with Ole Miss and State winning, having these huge letdowns after winning the national title? Add LSU to that list, Kevin. LSU is 3-9. They would be the 14 seed today. They would be the last team into the SEC tournament. They would not be in the NCAA tournament at this time, I don't think. So, I mean, if I could understand this curse, I would make a documentary on it, but it's really weird. But Ole Miss this year, they have just not played good baseball. Defensively, they haven't been as good as they've been in years past. They don't have those huge bats they've had in the years past. And losing, you know, I know that they knew about these injuries ahead of the season, but, you know, their Friday and Saturday night guys that they would like to have out there aren't there. Hunter Elliott and Xavier Rivas are not there. They're injured. They're out for the year. That affects this team. They just didn't have the depth at pitching to overcome that. I don't think hardly anybody does. There's not a lot of teams in America that could lose their top two starters and bounce back from that. For State, still missing their number one guy in Nate Doan, who they tried to give it a go last weekend and it didn't work. And I don't, you know, first off, as always with Chris Lemonis, he's never going to give you anything injury wise. We talked a little bit about it on the podcast. It might be time just to shut him down for a couple weeks. Just shut him down and reevaluate it, you know, 1st of May and see if he can come back then. Evan Sierra is a perfectly capable Sunday starter. Steven Durangelo and Sierra is a perfectly acceptable SEC rotation right now. Shut Dome down and come back to it and see how he feels in a couple weeks. That might be the way to go. I don't know if that's what they're going to do or not. But for him to only throw 12 pitches, that was tough. That was tough to see on Sunday in Starkville. I haven't even talked about, I'm not sure they want to give me a live mic to talk about what happened Saturday night in Starkville. An absolute disgrace. The SEC, you know, guys, when I go in on the officials, I don't do it because I think it's funny. In fact, I think the opposite. It's not funny. This is a billion-dollar conference, and they can't do better than this. It's embarrassing. It's an absolute shame. What happened out there is just miserable. To Georgia as well. Georgia had players thrown out of the game that should not have been thrown out of the game. Mississippi State had players thrown out of the game that should not have been thrown out of the game. How do you make these decisions? The people in the, you know, I guess if I had to make one positive, it wasn't the guys on the field making the decisions. Normally it's those guys screwing up. I'll give you that. This was done in the office in Birmingham. But just absolute ridiculous lunacy ruled the day in Starkville on Saturday. Just miserable officiating. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. But they keep giving me material. So what can I do? You put it on the tee, I'm going to hit it. Ridiculous. This series for State, if they can win this series, I feel like they're going to start building up some momentum. You know, as I mentioned it earlier today, State could very easily, but the opportunity is there for to be a 17-win team, right? It just involves don't get swept when you play Arkansas and Vanderbilt. You know, you can lose 2 out of 3 and then win the series against Ole Miss, Auburn, Alabama, Missouri. State would be favored in all of those series. All of those schools are below State in the standings as we sit right now. That would be 17-13. You're definitely in the NCAA tournament. And if your RPI was any better, you would be hosting. But since it isn't, you're probably going to go on the road. But you're a 2 seed that nobody wants in their bracket. What the regional that gets Mississippi State as a 2 seed in that scenario, that 1 seed is mad. That their coach is going to be on a radio show like ours saying, I don't know what we did to get, you know, Mississippi State in our regional. We thought we were a better team than that. That we didn't deserve to have them come here. And then you never know. You just don't ever know what happens in postseason play. Now, here's the thing, though. State, the team that has lost all these midweek games could show up on the weekend, and you could get swept at Arkansas, and you could get swept by Vanderbilt, and you could lose that series this weekend, and you could lose any other series. So the, you know, we got sort of a good State, bad State situation happening right now. The good state team is capable of beating just about anybody. The bad state team can't beat Austin Peay in two games. The bad state team gives up a 5-0 lead to South Alabama. The bad state team goes down 7-1 to Central Arkansas. The good state team takes 2 out of 3 from LSU and probably could have swept. The good state team takes 2 out of 3 from Georgia and probably could have swept. So I don't know which state team I'm going to see, you know, from week to week. I would like to think that maybe this weekend could be the start of more consistency from Mississippi State baseball. I feel like they're on the verge of that. I feel like they're on the verge of having consistent play. You know, a little bit more consistent hitting, a little bit more from the bullpen. I feel like the starting pitching is fine. And you got something. You don't get it, and you're going to be looking at, you know, staying at home another season. Don't think that the state's out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. They still have to continue to win games. They got to win at least 14 conference games, which they're on pace to do. But they got to do that. Because as we talked with Teddy Cahill earlier, or I guess last week, state's RPI is such that if they 13-17 is not going to be enough. They've got to win at least 14. And if they do more than that, it's not an issue. But they should be in the hosting discussion right now. They're 21-12. They probably should be 24-9. They should have, at the very least, split with Austin Peay. They should have held on against South Alabama, and there's no way they should have lost to Central Arkansas at home. I mean, that's 3 losses they should have back. In reality, you could make a legitimate case that they would only have maybe 2 or 3 losses outside of the conference. But it just is what it is at this point. I think they go up to Oxford and get that series. I think they're just the better baseball team, and I feel like Ole Miss, I'm not saying they're on the verge of tapping out because it's Ole Miss and Bianca, I think he'll have them ready to play. I just think State's the better team. I don't think a sweep, probably not. But get the series, I think State can do that and should do that this weekend up there in Oxford. Spring football, we got about another week and a half before the spring game. What are we talking about out there on the football field? We'll talk about it here on Thunder and Lightning when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Enlighten. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. April 20th is a National Military Park Fee-Free Day. In honor of National Park Week, visitors can enjoy free admission to the Vicksburg National Military Park at 3201 Clay Street. For more information, call 601-636-0583. Love the National Military Park. Really, really cool place in my hometown of Vicksburg. We're coming to you live from the Allen Chiropractic Studios here in Starkville, where Super Bulldog Weekend is just, 10 days away, and the spring game here at Davis-Wade Stadium, that is going to be a more traditional spring game than what you're going to see at Ole Miss this weekend. From talking to Jeff Lebby, I think they're not going to be a draft or anything like that. They're going to create a maroon and white team. It'll just be state offense versus defense, but it will be a little bit more traditional. It'll be our first real look at this offense and this team. And, you know, talking to some people, you know, around the program, they feel good about where things are at this point in practice. They feel good about where players are coming along in terms of, you know, installation, because you got new systems on both sides of the ball. They like what they're seeing at the quarterback position from Blake Chapin, just about keeping him healthy. They know they still got some issues there. They've got to find another running back. That'll be priority one in the portal, and State did bring in a portal visitor last weekend, Rashad Amos from Miami of Ohio, who's the number one rated running back in the portal right now. But by and large, I think State likes where they are on both sides of the ball. I think we talked about their first scrimmage on our last show here, and you know the defense really had a good day out at the park. That Coleman Hutzler, you know, in his unit was able to. Yeah, dominate's not the right word, but they had the upper hand in the first scrimmage. And so, you know, and that surprised some people. And people were taken aback by that. And I can't help but wonder if, have we underestimated some of the guys? You know, look, are they young and unproven? Absolutely they are. You got a lot of guys that, you know, you got to say hope. We hope Trevion Williams and Calvin Dinkins are better. We hope John Lewis and Zachary Tillman are going to be better. We hope Bryce Pollock and Kamari Rogers and Brian Lanier are going to be better. Because we don't know. We don't have. There's no proof. There's no tape on those guys at this time. But maybe that's the case. And as I've said on this show and on the podcast and on Sports Talk and everywhere else I'm allowed to talk, that defensively State doesn't have to be 2018, 1999 Mississippi State out there. They don't have to be dominant. They just have to be okay. If you could tell me today that defense is going to be okay, whatever your definition of okay is, or whatever my definition of okay is, they're just okay. I will tell you without hesitation, State will be in a bowl game, and heck, at okay, I might be willing to give you seven and pushing for eight wins. Now, if you tell me they're going to struggle, I can still find the path to six wins and into a bowl game. But if okay is what I'm asking, right? You know, you hear people say, "Oh, he's serviceable," and they try to mean it as a compliment, right? So if serviceable is your ceiling, not very good. But again, I can use it here because if that defense is serviceable, this is going to be a good enough football team in year one for Jeff Lebby. So, I'm among the people who was surprised. I also reached out to a couple other people, and I was like, look, you know, some people who have been around the program for a long time, I was like, you know, you guys were there. Talked to some folks. You're like, you were there when Mullen came in. And do you get similar vibes? From, you know, vibes are big these days. You know, I the kids are always telling me about the vibes. You have a vibes check. Some people get great things strictly off of vibes. I am not one of those people. I'm a little bit more... but more old-fashioned, but I asked about the vibes. And they said, absolutely. They said, it feels like it did when that change occurred. And it feels like it's bought in. You feel like, you know, you've got a good grasp around your team, that they're getting better, that they're better coached this year. That's a refrain I've heard a lot of, is that this team is better coached now than it was at any point a season ago. And obviously, you know, it kind of is what it is with that. I don't want to besmirch the old staff. The record on the field speaks for itself, and I don't have to say anything else there. But by and large, I feel like Jeff Lebby has come in, and he was the right shot of energy that this program needed. I mean, There was nothing positive going on with Mississippi State sports coming out of that Texas A&M game a year ago. For Mississippi State football, I should say. You know, that was the low point. That was the point where you were just looking around and you're going, are they really going to do another year of this? You know, if you go back to on this show and on the podcast, I was telling you at the time, I was like, yeah, there's some movement. There's some people talking about maybe making a change. But I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure that Zach Selman would pull the trigger on that. He did. And ever since Jeff Lebby has arrived, I feel like every step he's taken, everything that's been made public to the public, has encouraged buy-in from fans. Now, I'm not telling you that Mississippi State's going to sell 60,000 season tickets next year and that every game's going to be a sellout by any stretch of the imagination. I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell you that State's going to go out and win eight or nine games next year. I think next year will be a trying season. They've got to, you know, put the pieces together. But if nothing else, I feel like Mississippi State fans you know, I don't know if hope is the right word or not, but they have that little bit of excitement that had basically been taken away from them by week three of last year. When State fans watched that game against LSU, there was nothing left. They were just like, this team is not good. They're not going to be good this year. And you've got a first-year head coach, and I don't know if he's the right guy to fix it. That's a really scary spot for a football team to be in. When you have a first-year head coach, and it's obvious at that point, that early, that he's not the right guy, because 9 times out of 10, that's somebody you're stuck with for at least 3 seasons. For State, somehow, they've gotten out of it early twice, with Moorhead and then with Arnett. And, you know, with Moorhead, you can probably thank Willie Gay for that. But with Arnett, I mean, you have to thank Zach Solomon for that. Because I think he saw that what was happening and what was going to happen. And that it was going to be a situation where you had fans just asking questions, why am I buying tickets? Why would I come to the stadium? Instead, now you've got fans who are excited again. So that's good news. That's good news for State. You know, the portal window opens next week. State's going to be active in it. I think, like I mentioned, running back already, they'll definitely be looking there. They'll probably be looking for an edge rusher, if they can find one, be it a defensive end or a linebacker, whoever they feel like can provide some pass rush. They want to find another corner. And you just don't have the experience. That's the least experienced position on the field. You know, you've got a JUCO transfer there in Lanier. You've got Kamari Rogers, who transferred in from Miami but didn't play much last year. Bryce Pollock played a good bit towards the end of the season. But I don't know, you know, not enough that you can just sit here and with a straight face and say, oh, yeah, they're going to be fine there. I mean, not by any stretch of the imagination is that the case. You know, Kelly Jones is a guy I'm very intrigued by because of his size. You don't see a lot of 6'4" corners out there. But it's just intrigue. I haven't seen him play. I haven't seen him out there on the field. So State's got some guys I'm interested to see how they look, but I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, I can't sit here and tell you with a straight face, oh yeah, for sure they're going to be okay. I can't tell you that, and I won't. Somebody else might. Other people might try to sell you that, oh yeah, they're going to be fine. Until I see it, I'm not going to do that. And the conference this year, I've been doing all these spring previews, man, and if you haven't checked them out, please do. They're on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. We've got two tomorrow, Missouri and South Carolina. And you realize that there's so many intriguing stories around the conference this year. But one thing that I keep coming across, and a friend of mine pointed this out on a message board, is that everybody thinks they're going to be better next year. Now, with State, I would say the same. I think State will be better. It may not show up in their record. They may go 5-7 again. I mean, I think 6-6 is a good number for them. But you've got teams that won 8-9 games last year, and I've talking to media people, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're going to win 9-10 games. They're just giving them another win. That's dangerous. Somebody's going to lose games in the conference this year. Yeah, you can't pile all the losses onto Arkansas and Vanderbilt and say that's all who's going to be terrible this year. You know, last year South Carolina dropped back. Mississippi State dropped back. Auburn wasn't a whole lot better. There's going to be teams like that this year. I'll give you one to keep an eye on. Oklahoma. Just not sold on that team being SEC ready. I know Texas is. I don't know if Oklahoma is. And if Oklahoma comes in and they're 7-5 or 6-6, I'm not going to be totally, totally shocked by that. They got plenty of talent, but man, I just don't know that they're ready to jump into the deep water over here in the SEC. We'll find out soon enough. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
All of which are American dreams.
Now's
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
last go around here on Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. It's available wherever you get podcasts for. It's also available at supertalk.fm, which if it's a website you haven't bookmarked, well, you need to, because it's got your one-stop shop for all the news, weather, sports, everything going on in our great state. It's right there at supertalk.fm. We are coming to you live from the Allen Chiropractic Studios here in Starkville. Again, that website is drallenchiro.com. You can make an appointment there or call them at 662-320-9300. And we're brought to you by our good friends over at Visit Vicksburg. April 20th through the 21st, the Miss Mississippi Outstanding Teen Pageant. Saturday, 2 p.m., Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Vicksburg City Auditorium, 901 Monroe Street. Two preliminary competitions on the 22nd and the crowning on Sunday, April the 23rd. To purchase tickets or for more information, call the Miss Mississippi Corporation at 601-638-6746 or visit www.miss-mississippi.com. Also want to give a shout-out here to my friends over at the Greater Starkville Development Partnership. Starkville, Mississippi voted the best small town in America today in a poll from USA Today. That's no news to those of us who live in this fine city. Love the town of Starkville. My adopted hometown, I guess. Great stuff. Glad to see them win that award. I love Starkville. Love Vicksburg. I love the state of Mississippi. Yes, even Oxford. Even you guys up there. Y'all are okay. You know you love me too. So let's just get that out of the way. Baseball, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 o'clock first pitch in Oxford on Friday, 7:30, late game. On Saturday, and then a 1:30 first pitch on Sunday at Oxford University, Swayze Field at Oxford University Stadium. If there's an Ole Miss fan listening, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that. As I mentioned, I will be at all three games, so we'll have coverage at supertalk.fm of those games. And, of course, Thunder and Lightning to wrap that up after the weekend. We're finishing up our SEC spring previews on Thunder and Lightning as well. So this next week, I've got Tennessee, Missouri and South Carolina tomorrow, Tennessee on Friday, and then next week, Texas. Talk about the Longhorns for the first time, along with Texas A&M, and we'll wrap things up with Vanderbilt. It's too bad for Vanderbilt. They're the least interesting team, and they always have to be last because they start with a V. If you go alphabetically, they're always going to be last. Oh, well, that's what it is for the Commodores. It's some good stuff on Thunder and Lightning the past few weeks. We've been having a good time. Tomorrow's podcast is really good, too. I think you'll enjoy it because we spin the baseball discussion, just previewing the series a little bit, into more of a big-picture talk about Chris Lemonis. And, yeah, they look like they're back on the postseason, and that's great. But is that good enough for Mississippi State? You know, do we trust Chris Lemonis to not only get State back and rolling this season, but to elevate this team back to where it normally should be, among the elite of college baseball? Can he do that? Robbie and I have that discussion on tomorrow's podcast. Apparently, Richard Cross won't be here tomorrow. Michael Borky wasn't here Monday and Tuesday. Richard Cross won't be here Thursday, Friday for Sports Talk Mississippi. I'm the only constant. You know, I have always been. I have been present through all that has been and all that ever will be, evidently. I'm ageless. I wish. I do wish that sometimes. So, correct, Hayden. Oh, I was correct. Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't like to get things wrong. I had a bad one today. I thought State played baseball in Tennessee. Played Tennessee in baseball. I don't know where I got that from. I literally cannot tell you where that came from in my brain. Just a total brain fart, and I'll have to own that one. So, Masters starts this weekend. I don't normally watch a ton of the Masters. I certainly can't watch a ton of the Masters if I'm going to be in Oxford for baseball. But I think that Scottie Scheffler guy will probably just win it. Everything I hear about him is he's the best player in the world right now. So why would not? Let's just ride with him. I guess we're not doing a picks thing because those guys. You think the two biggest golf guys would want to do a picks on the Masters? But no. So one more weekend of spring football. There'll be a scrimmage this weekend. I hope to get an update from that, and then we'll have the spring game next week. I'm trying to see if we can get Coach Levy on after the spring game to sort of wrap us up and tell us what he thought of his first spring here in Starkville. If we can't get him on the radio show, maybe get him on the podcast again. I don't know. We'll try to figure something out. But I'd like to hear from him after his first spring wraps up here in Starkville and heading into the off season, handing his team over to his strength and conditioning guys and just going from there. So should be fun. All right. Back tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi with me and Michael Borky. Until then, for Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Talk to you guys again next week and, of course, tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. Good night.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.